Flying 15. Keep up with that turquoise lover, so full of love and kindness, before doubt compromises every fleshed out interaction. Keeping viable, honey sweetened utopias, sinking in a black swamp of remorse, leeches of greed sucking on lust and shame, enduring through our biggest mistakes, emerging into our new biggest improvements, into new consummations of refined affection, earth blooming with polychrome in cultivating virtues, olive branch rites turquoising all plentiful harvests. Keep up with that cleansing, so salving for each wound, before pus infests every vital feeling and thought, keeping soft every hardened organ, our hearts tormented by dark red memories, collapsing at the gates of our own perdition, crawling through our narrow bloodied trenches, discovering new veins of replenishment, new streams of purification, untainted rivers gushing ahead boundlessly, the crested sky showers cleansing the defilement. Keep up with that life so deeply longed for, before it kneels at the precipice of its own abyss, keeping zoetic every favorable breeze, burning in the eternal chaos of our own unquenchable inferno, aspirations melting, courage faltering, glowing through our own embers, bursting into new, cleaner flames of rejuvenation, singing new songs, continuing beyond mortal existence, clear transcendent winds blowing reinforcingly to the ends of the vast earth, mastery of life surpassing all adversity. Keep up with that oracle so devotedly worshipped, before it fades at the end of the nebulous sky, keeping alight the torch of insight, our philosophies crucified by false innocence, hiding behind false gods, thrusting through ugly, thorny dogmas, taming new, wild wisdoms, new unchained channels of magnificent revelations, lightning-eyed eagles ceaselessly circling, oracles as rays resurrecting all spiritual forces. Hurry, keep up with those flights, so brave and so free, before they explode in the anguish of the universe, keeping high the grace of this sky blue sphere. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Alexandra. Next up, we have Catherine Rowland.
I'm reading from The Cloud Architect by Matthew Keaton. A simple twist of fate. It seemed as though I were simply wading into the midnight duck pond. Green moss growing round my feet, fish around my thighs, but in actual fact, and I didn't know it yet, this was an elaborate courtship ritual, which you laughed at, but remembered some days later, when the time came to declare an interest, after a series of chance encounters, a supermarket, a party, a night class, all leading up to and back to midnight, and a liquid pool of darkness swirling like a simple twist of fate.
Beautiful, thanks, Catherine. Next up, can we have Pam Campbell on Zoom?
Okay. I'm going to be reading a poem by Denton Loving. It's from the same spot of earth that I'm from. And the title of this poem is My Mother is the Green Mountains. My mother is the Green Mountains grinding against the horizon. She built the wall at the end of the world. She is the pilgrim's narrow path cut through violet fields of wildflowers. My mother is the Green Mountains, discharging many winged congregations from her ancient rocky arms, the wall at the end of the world. Is where we watch the zigzagging lights of fireflies meld into distant stars. My mother is the Green Mountains, afflicted by invisible danger, riding on the wings of mosquitoes to the wall at the end of the world. She is everyone I love, no longer with me. She is in a dream that can't be recaptured. My mother is the Green Mountains, the wall at the end of the world.
And next up, can we have Ernest Hemingway?
Jeez. This short poem is attributed to Ernest Hemingway, but there's controversy about who's the real author.
Oh.
For sale. Baby shoes. Never worn.
And thanks very much, TJF. So next, can we have Constantine, who will do a poem, one poem by another author. Where's Constantine?
I think he's not here anymore.
Sure. Il est parti. D'accord. I'm just jumping into French. I'm using myself. Can we have Eveline Duvney Connell? Welcome, Eveline.
Thank you. Thanks. So this is just an extract of the Lament of Eveline Duvney Connell, this beautiful poet that I have found through the book called A Ghost in the Truth by Dorine Griofa. If you haven't read it yet, do it, because it's beautiful. And apparently the life of this beautiful, great poet in Ireland, it's still unknown. There are some voices, but let's say there is not a deep understanding of her life, but she's just beautiful, beautiful poet. So I am going to read this just a short lament about the death of her husband. My friend and my lamb, don't you believe them, nor the scandal you heard, nor the jealous man's gossip. That it's sleeping I went. It was no heavy slumber, but your babies so troubled, and all of them all of them needing to be settled in peace. People of my heart, what woman in Ireland from setting of sun could stretch out beside him and bear him three sucklings and not run wild, losing Art O'Ligor, who lies here vanquished since yesterday morning. Long loss, bitter grief, I was not by your side when the bullet was fired, so my right side could take it, or the edge of my shift, till I freed you to the hills, my fine-handed horseman. Thank you.
Thank you, Antonio. Next up, can we have Victor Hugo?
It's Hugo, by the way. I'm actually gonna read two. He's to blame for me writing, and he's to blame for my depression, because he's just so intense in everything that he wrote. So, demain, dès l'aube, à l'heure où blanchit la campagne, je partirai. Vois-tu, je sais que tu m'attends. J'irai par la forêt, j'irai par la montagne. Je ne puis demeurer loin de toi plus longtemps. Je marcherai, les yeux fixés sur mes pensées, sans rien voir au dehors, sans entendre aucun bruit. Seul, inconnu, le dos courbé, les mains croisées, triste, et le jour pour moi sera comme la nuit. Je ne regarderai ni l'or du soir qui tombe, ni les voiles au loin descendant vers Harfleur, et quand j'arriverai, je mettrai sur ta tombe un bouquet de houverts et de bruyères en fleurs.
And if you want the English translation, Catherine is actually going to read it soon. Not tonight, though. So that was, this one was written after for the anniversary of his daughter Leopoldine, and this one is called Après l'hiver, so after winter, and because we are in spring, just figure to end on a beautiful note. Tout revit, ma bien-aimée. Le ciel gris perd sa pâleur. Quand la terre est embaumée, le cœur de l'homme est meilleur. En haut, d'où l'amour ruisselle, en bas, où meurt la douleur. La même immense étincelle allume l'astre et la fleur. L'hiver fuit, saison d'alarme, noir avril mystérieux, où l'âpre sève des larmes coule et du cœur monte aux yeux. Ô douce désuétude de souffrir et de pleurer, veux-tu dans la solitude nous mettre à nous adorer? La branche au soleil se dort et penche pour l'abriter. Ces boutons qui vont éclore sur l'oiseau qui va chanter. L'aurore où nous nous aimâmes semble renaître à nos yeux et met sourit dans nos âmes comme il sourit dans les cieux. On entend rire, on voit luire tous les êtres tour à tour. La nuit, les astres bruirent et les abeilles le jour. Et partout, nos regards lisent et, dans l'herbe et dans les nids, de petites voix nous disent « Les aimants sont les bénis ». L'air enivre, tu reposes à mon cou tes bras vainqueurs. Sur les rosiers, que de roses, que de soupirs dans nos cœurs. Comme l'aube, tu me charmes, ta bouche et tes yeux chéris ont, quand tu pleures, ses larmes et ses perles quand tu ris. La nature, sœur jumelle d'Ève et d'Adam et du jour, nous aime, nous berce et mêle son mystère à notre amour. Il suffit que tu paraisses, pour que le ciel t'adorant te contemple et nos caresses, toute l'ombre nous les rend. Clarté et parfum nous-mêmes, nous baignons nos cœurs heureux dans les effluves suprêmes des éléments amoureux. Et sans qu'un souci t'oppresse, sans que ce soit mon tourment, j'ai l'étoile pour maîtresse, le soleil est ton amant. Et nous donnons notre fièvre aux fleurs où nous appuyons nos bouches et notre lèvre sans le baiser des rayons.
Merci Victor Hugo. Ça a été génial. Next up, can we please have John Donne? Or John Donne.
I do not look too bad for a man of 450. And so glad I am to be among such rostering fellows tonight. I think I should impart upon you some of my mean verse for your verisimilitude. So this mean piece of verse is a clepet, the Elegy the Fifth. Here, take my picture, though I bid farewell. Thine in my heart, where my soul dwells, shall dwell. 'Tis like me now, but I dead, 'twill be more. When we are shadows both, than 'twas before, when weather-beaten I came back, my hand perhaps with rude oars torn, or sunbeams tanned, my face and breast of haircloth, and my head with care's rash sudden hoarseness o'erpressed, my body a sack of bones broken within, and powder blue stains scattered on my skin. If rival fools tax thee to have loved a man so foul and coarse, ah, I have seen them. They shall say what I was, and thou shalt say, do his hurts reach me? Doth my worth decay? Or do they reach his judging mind that he should now love less what he did love to see? That which in him was fair and delicate was but the milk which in love's childish state did nurse it, who now in grown strong enough to feed on that which to disused tastes seem tough.
Great to see you around again, John Donne. It felt like 400 years, all right. Next, can we have contemporary, wonderful genius, Phil Spillane.
I'm not that old.
Yet.
This is by a real contemporary genius. This is by my friend Gabriella Di Casso. This is translated. It kind of worked out for the last 5 years. She's been sending me translated poems when she doesn't have to. Always feel guilty that she has to translate them as soon as she writes them. And I can't do Portuguese. So she's an incredible poet. And she released her newest collection there recently. It's a beautiful, beautiful cover. But anyway, the poem. I'm excused if I make a mistake. The dog. There is a dog. There is a dog in the middle of the road. And the dog keeps me company every day. By the end of the afternoon, when the flowers west in their flower beds, and when the birds retract to their pine woods, I lay my hand in my bony spine of the dog, and I take it peacefully to a walk. I take it to the pubs and the cafes of the town. I take it to the parks, But this dog doesn't chase butterflies. I take it by an invisible leash tied around my neck. At night, by the sea, the dog and I sit side by side, our eyes gazing the cape, out to the cape, watching the violet waves that clash against the harbour. There is a black dog in the middle of the road, and in the end of the road, there's my house. Whenever I have visitors, the dog peeks among the gates, his red gaze peers among the stones, and his acidic breath resembles a rotten rockle. By the end of the dinner, I give him the remains on the table. The dog eats, but it languishes, drinks, and withers. And that's why I take it in my arms many times, whenever I leave from my house and go into the town. The man in the tobacco shop knows me well. He knows my steps and my shadow. Whenever I arrive, he lends me a newspaper and a cigarette and drops some liquor in my coffee. It's a beautiful day, isn't it? I take out some dirty coins from my pocket and give the coins to the man with a mortified hands, ripped hands, gleaming in blood. It's the dog, I say. Sometimes I like care dealing with the creature. But sir, it appears your dog has no teeth. There is a black dog in the middle of the road. That dog wakes for me every day in passageways. And sometimes, by seeing my own face drowned in ruinous of its eyes, and I can't tell any more who's the man, who's the black dog in the middle of the road. Thanks for listening.
Thanks very much, Phil. And next up, we have Walt Whitman.
I like this poem because it's kind of about how academia can't capture the true essence of something and how taxonomy is probably a plague in our consciousness. And my son's about to do the leaving cert, so I have a lot of sympathy. Yeah. So, when I heard the learned astronomer, when the proofs, the figures were ranged in columns before me, when I was shown the charts and diagrams to add, divide, and measure them, when I, sitting, heard the astronomer where he lectured with much applause in the lecture room, how soon unaccountable I became tired and sick, till rising and gliding out, I wandered off by myself in the mystical, moist night air, and from time to time looked up in perfect silence at the stars.
Lovely. Thanks, Ryan. Okay, I think we should jump on to Zoom a little.
Amy Berry, actually.
Sorry, I'm a bit confused now with my... So next on the list is Matt Mooney.
Amy Berry.
We have Amy Berry.
Yeah. Here comes Amy Berry's poem. From her book, just launched, Testing with Tigers, published by Daedalus Press, just new off the press now, by Amy Berry, Matt Lone, and Malaysia. And a poem that I have selected from her collection, her new collection, is Prisoner 466. 6-4, Robben Island for Mandela. I had a chance to return to where I had spent 18 years in captivity, a 7 by 9 foot room. I could walk the length of my cell in 3 paces. Where I had missed births and funerals, weddings and anniversaries, I wanted to reach those I love, but many had gone. Voices overlapped, but thoughts ran like a clear stream over rough sediment. And I asked myself, what more can you do but pray and hope, pray and hope? Here, I recalled a warden's first words. This is where you will die.
Thank you, Manus. Okay, let's stay on Zoom and check if Kieran McCartan wants to.
Lee Poe,
everyone.
He's got very nice up there. Look at that.
Oh. I think Kieran means Lee Poe.
Oh, yeah.
Your grandson.
What's the crack?
Lisbon.
What's the story? I'm gonna read. I got this book, in Glasgow when I was over there at Christmas time, and it's the Visions of Lee Tai Po, and he's a famous Chinese poet, and it's called Banished Immortal. And I'm gonna read a few poems from it because they're quite short. On Dragon Hill. Drunk on Dragon Hill tonight, the banished immortal, great white, turns among yellow flowers, his smile wide as his hat sails away on the wind and he dances away in the moonlight. Oh. Saying goodbye in a Chinling wine shop. Spring winds perfume the shop with heavy blooming catkins. A girl from Wu pours our wine and encourages more drinking with friends from the city. I come to toast and say goodbye. About to part, I point them toward the great East Shirling River. Can any river possibly flow beyond the love of friends? Autumn River Song. The moon shimmers in the green water. White herons fly through the moonlight. The young man hears a girl gathering watering chestnuts. Into the night singing, they paddle home together. And we're going to read one more. And it's called Going to Visit a Taoist Recluse on Heaven's Mountain, only to find him gone. Dogs bark where the river sings and peach blossoms grow heavy with rain. Deer wander through woods so deep I cannot hear the noon bell near the river. Bamboo grows thick in the blue-green mists where the river plunges from the summit. With no one here to tell me where you've gone, I linger pining in the forest. Thank you.
Beautiful, thanks, Kieran. Are you in Portugal right now?
Yeah.
It's lovely to see you. Thanks so much for jumping on.
Nice to see you. Great to hear you. Another year. Fair play. Happy days. Congratulations, Paul. Congratulations, everyone.
Okay, jumping on.
Okay,
so we've got a real person in the room now. We've got Rolf Parker Houghton, please.
And thank you, Rosalind, for the use of your phone. So, I've loved this poem since shortly after I discovered my father's poetry collection, which was in a closet, and shortly after I broke my nose. So, this is Fizzog by Carl Sandburg. Fizzog! This face you got, this here fizzog you carry around, you never picked it out for yourself at all, did you? This here fizzog, somebody handed it to you, am I right? Somebody said, here's yours, now go see what you can do with it. Somebody slipped it to you and was like a package marked, no goods exchanged after being taken away. This face you got.
Some delivery. Well done. Great poem. Okay, next up, I don't know, so we've Carl Sandburg.
Oh, that was Carl.
Oh. Okay, it's just his name is directly.
Oh, but if Carl's up again.
Okay, thanks very much, Carl Sandberg. Next up, can we have Seamus Harrington?
Yeah.
Thanks, Jim. This is by E. Cummings. May I feel, said he. May I feel, said he. I'll squeal, said she. Just once, said he. It's fun, said she. May I touch, said he. How much, said she. A lot, said he. Why not, said she. Let's go, said he. Not too far, said she. What's too far, said he. Where you are, said she. May I stay, said he. Which way, said she. Like this, said he. If you kiss, said she. May I move, said he. Is it love, said she. If you're willing, said he. But you're killing, said she. But it's life, said he. But your wife, said she. Now, said he. Wow, said she. Tip top, said he. Don't stop, said she. Oh no, said he. Go slow, said she. Come, said he. Said she. You're divine, said he. You're mine, said she.
Thanks so much, Seamus. It was gas.
Didn't reach a new meaning to E. Cummings.
I was thinking it, but I wasn't going to go there. No. Can Margaret O'Regan come?
I love it, Jim. What I'm going to read is the lyrics of a song
and it's called Everyone Should Have a Home.
Yay.
It was written by Martin Leahy, L-E-A-H-Y. And he travels from Cork to Dublin every single Thursday, and he sings it outside the Dáil. Now, also, his anniversary is coming up the first week in May. So the first Thursday in May, he'll have been doing it for a whole year. Wow. He goes up every single Thursday. Wow. So it's called Everyone Should Have a Home. Some people's misery, other people's gain, enrich the rich and make them richer. They see property as opportunity, a business that will make the sickness sicker. If they build too many houses, it'll drive down the price. Cold economics to them. No will to address it, because it's not in their interest. We've seen it time and time again. Everyone should have a home. In this world, in this life, a basic human right, a dignified place you call your own. Safe and warm where you belong, everyone should have a home. Housing developers hung up on greed, hungry vultures swooping from the sky, crucifying rents on the increase. Shamefully, they bleed the people dry. All the vacant properties, we see them in our towns. Sign the papers, take down the boards. A home is not a hotel. A home is not a hostel. A home is not a cardboard box on the side of the road. We've got landlords in government who vote and legislate in favor of investments they control. Our leaders, they facilitate and then wave away the emergency created at their door. The moneyed minds get richer and the poor just fade into hovels and homes they can't afford. Dystopian evictions, ruthless repossessions, a wealthy country's people in a stranglehold. Everyone should have a home. In this world, in this life, a basic human right, a dignified place you call your own. Everyone should have a home. Safe and warm where you belong. Everyone should have a home. That was a challenge set up by Victoria Keating and Áine O'Gorman on behalf of Martin Leahy. And I'm passing on the challenge to every person in this room, all the poets, all the musicians, and everyone on Zoom, to do their own version of the chorus in any genre they like and any style they like. You'd be amazed at the different ones that are up on Facebook and posted on YouTube. They're amazing, all the different versions. And it gets the message home because the eviction ban has been lifted and the cost of living campaign is very busy trying to get that reversed.
Okay, so next up, can we have John Heath?
This is a poem I wrote in 1818 to my cat, who was old at the time and is now very old. Cat, who hast passed thy grand climacteric, how many mice and rats hast in thy days destroyed? How many titbits stolen? Gaze with those bright, languid segments green, and prick those velvet ears, but prithee do not stick thy latent talons in me, and upraise thy gentle meow. And tell me all thy frays of fish and mice and rats and tender chick. Nay, look not down, nor lick thy dainty wrists, for all the wheezy asthma and for all thy tail's tip is nicked off, and though the fists of many a maid have given thee many a mole, still is that fur as soft as when the lists in youth thou enteredst on glass-bottled wall.
Ooh. Beautiful, John Keith. Keep it up. You're actually pretty good. I think you should keep at the right. Okay, and next up, we have Paul Casey.
Yes, I'm exercising my right to be a nepotistic whore. As Time Capsule Sleepwalk Through Catastrophe by Paul Casey. My great-great-great-grandparents eked out lives, delicate as leaf smoke when the first steam locomotive lugged its heavy load of carbon. Little did they know. When my great-great-grandparents nestled their babies tight on the sunlit side of famine, Foucault devised the gyroscope now found in missiles and drones. Little did they know. My great-grandparents, who tasted sweet, righteous revolution, walked miles as the first motor cars and aeroplanes combusted, vaporized their cheap diets of gasoline. Little did they know. I am blessed to have known and loved four grandparents. They, my parents, great-grandmother and I could all make out the stars when first footfall was made on the moon. Little did we know. And you, future hearts, will you take the closest of care of whatever it is we have left you? So much you must know. So little.
Thanks so much, Paul.
Published in the Irish Times.
Thanks, Paul and Rosie. Next up, can we have Alexandra Toth?
So I picked out this poem because I kind of have a slight interest in Hungarian history, and this poem means a lot to the Hungarians. It's basically about the Hungarian Civil Revolution, which happened in 1848 and 1849, because they tried to gain an independent state because they were under control of the Habsburg Empire. So this poem is about like that, basically. Dapra magyar híja haza, itt az idő most vagy soha. Rabok legyünk vagy szabadok? Ez itt a kérdés, válasszatok. A magyarok istenére esküszünk, rabok tovább nem leszünk. Rabok voltunk mostanáig, kárhozattak ősapáink, kik szabadok, szabadon éltek, haltak, szolgaföldben nem nyughattak. A magyarok istenére esküszünk, rabok tovább nem leszünk. Sehonnai bitang ember, ki most ha kell, halni nem mer, kinek drágább rönty élete, mint a haza becsülete. A magyarok istenére esküszünk, hogy rabok tovább nem leszünk. Fényesebb a láncnál a kard, jobban ékesíti a kart. És mi a mégis láncot hordtunk, ide vele régi kardunk. A magyarok istenére esküszünk, hogy rabok tovább nem leszünk. A magyar név megint szép lesz, méltó régi nagy híréhez. Mit rákentek a századok, lemossuk a gyalázatot. A magyarok istenére esküszünk, hogy rabok tovább nem leszünk. Ha sírjaink domborulnak, unokáink leborulnak, és áldó imádság mellett mondják ezt szent neveinket. A magyarok istenére esküszünk, hogy rabok tovább nem leszünk. And then this would be the official translation of it. On your feet, magyar, the homeland calls. The time is here, now or never. Shall we be slaves or free? This is the question, choose your answer. By the God of the Hungarians, we vow that we won't be slaves any longer. We were slaves up till now, damned our ancestors, lived and died free, cannot rest in a slave land. By the God of the Hungarians, we vow that we won't be slaves any longer. Useless villain of a man who now, if need be, doesn't dare to die, who values his pathetic life greater than the honor of his homeland by the God of the Hungarians. We vow that we won't be slaves any longer. The sword shines brighter than the chain, decorates better than the arm, and we still wore chains. Return now, our old sword. By the God of the Hungarians, we vow that we won't be slaves any longer. The Magyar name will be great again, worthy of its old great honor, which the centuries smeared on it. We will wash away the shame. By the God of the Hungarians, we vow that we won't be slaves any longer. Where a grave mounds lie, our grandchildren will kneel, and with blessing prayer recite our sainted names. By the God of the Hungarians, we vow that we won't be slaves any longer.
Thanks, Alexandra. Next up, can we have Norbin Juby?
Tonight I'm Norman Duby. I died about 3 months ago, but I was a great, if overlooked, American poet. You should check me out. Poem is called... This one is fairly intense. A Blue Hog. I didn't have to buy the acid. I found it in an old battery in the barn where the cows make sea noises and the cobwebs are plated gold. There were packets of birdseed, white floats of cork, turpentine, and an old black fish line which shouldn't have worked, but did. All of it is sin for the taking. I chose the acid for its smoke and the fish line to tie around my toe to remind me of the smoke. I threw the rotten apples into the yard, and the blue hog charged. He was unpardonable, having killed my sister's child. John couldn't butcher him. To eat that hog would be to eat the child. I poured the acid into pink Christmas bulbs and sewed them into the hollowed apples. I put them out into the sun to soften. The hog swallowed them whole like smoke. By the time he looked under himself, he was already broke. My long dress shook. He stopped to give me a look, and then ran straight at the barn. His head and shoulders passed through the boards. The horse inside had a hissing fit over him. Nobody has ridden that horse since, except for the devil, who's said to be still in the district.
Very perfect. Thanks, Dean, or Norman. Next up, can we have John O'Donoghue? It's actually Brian. Yeah. It's his first time here, so extra.
Jim. I actually wrote my first piece of words to read tonight that was inspired by John O'Donoghue. It was called In Flame. So I thought I'd read a poem from his called For a New Beginning, which I think he puts it better than I can. So For a New Beginning. In out of the way places of the heart, where your thoughts never think to wander, this beginning has been quietly forming, waiting until you are ready to emerge. For a long time, it has watched your desire, feeling the emptiness growing inside you, noticing how you willed yourself on, still unable to leave what you had outgrown. It watched you play with the seduction of safety and the grey promises that sameness whispered. Heard the waves of turmoil rise and relent, wondered would you always live like this. Then did a light when the courage kindled and you stepped out onto new ground, your eyes young again with energy and dream. A path of plentitude opening before you. Though your destination is not yet clear, you can trust the promise of this opening. Unfurl yourself into the grace of beginning that is at one with your life's desire. Awaken your spirit to adventure. Hold nothing back. Learn to find ease in risk. Soon you will home in a new rhythm, for the soul senses the world that awaits you. Thank you.
Thanks. found it good in you. Next up, we have, I think it's Kasia Kalko. Did I say that right?
I guess my handwriting was not very easy to detect there. Masha Kaleko. I don't know enough about her. I didn't do my homework well enough. But she emigrated from Germany, and I think she was from the area that's called Silesia in English, and that now partly belongs to Poland and partly to the Czech Republic. And I haven't read much of her poetry, but what I've read has touched me a lot as a German emigrant after the war, World War II. I think she was Jewish. And I pulled this out yesterday looking for this, preparing for this, and I noticed that actually I'm pulling this out for my daughter. So I'm going to read Masha Kaleko's poem in German first and then my own translation. Mit auf die Reise. Ich kann dir keinen Zauberteppich schenken, noch Diamanten oder edlen Nerz. Drum gebe ich dir dies Schlüsselchen von Erz, dazu mein ziemlich gut erhaltenes Herz zum an mich denken. Ich kann dir keine braven Socken stricken, und meine Kochkunst würde dich nur plagen. Drum nimm den Scherben rosarotes Glas, der führt ins Märchenland, ich weiß nicht was, an grauen Tagen. Ich kann dir nicht Aladins Lampe geben, kein Sesam und auch keinen Amethyst, doch weil dein Herz mir Flut und Ebbe ist, hier, diese Muschel, schimmernd wie von Tränen, zum nach mir sehnen. For the journey. I cannot give you a magic carpet, nor any diamonds or a gallant mink. So I will give you just this iron key, and furthermore, my fairly well-kept heart to think of me. A decent pair of socks I cannot knit you, and my culinary art would just afflict you. So please do take this shard of rosy glass that leads to fairyland I know not what, on days of greyness. I cannot give to you Aladdin's lamp, no sesame and neither amethyst. But as your heart is ebb and flow to me, here, this shell, shimmering as from tears, to long for me.
Thanks, Amelia and Sue. Next up, we have Cedric Beconant.
So actually, this one is from Paul Casey, but so we can fix this nepotism problem, as you can see. It's from the five-word challenge, 7th of December, 2015, and the words were rain, hope, hiccup, bottle, mountain. It's untitled. For a few minutes, it was raining hiccups in the Long Valley's hayloft bar after the barman left the bottles on their own for far too long. Poker-faced poets can wear the face of a mountain when it comes to the important things, but the flood of hiccups along Winthrop Street, however, has raised some eyebrows and questions. And one way or another, the price of a pint.
Did they win that night?
I
think
it did.
Well, fair play. Okay, up next we have Roseanne Watt.
This is called Rain Goose. You're surely exhausted, singing your prophecies of storms in these downpour days. When none want to listen, for that long tear of urgent song which first ripped open your throat. Never heed. Columns of cloud are rising in the east. Song or silence, they gather.
Next up, can we have Billy Ramsell?
Louis Mackins.
I forgot to write it down. This is a poem by Louis Mackins about the passage of time, called The Sunlight on the Garden. The sunlight on the garden hardens and grows cold. We cannot cage the minute within its nets of gold. When all is told, we cannot beg for pardon. Our freedom as freelancers advances toward its end. The earth compels. Upon it, sonnets and birds descend, and soon, my friend, we will have no time for dances. The sky was good for flying, defying the church bell and every evil iron siren and what it tells. The earth compels. We are dying, Egypt dying, and not expecting pardon. Hardened in heart anew, but glad to have sat under thunder and rain with you, and grateful too for the sunlight on the garden.
Thanks so much, Louis Mackins. And next, can we have Mags Creedon? Did she leave?
No, she just went down.
Okay. Well, while she's out of there, I think I hear a voice. It's Anne Sexton.
Oh, great.
Hello, everyone. Been a few years. I always read this poem whenever I was at a reading. It was a very important one for me. It's called Her Kind. I've gone out, a possessed witch, haunting the black air, braver at night, dreaming evil. I have done my hitch over the plain houses, light by light, lonely thing, 12-fingered, out of mind. A woman like that is not a woman quite. I have been her kind. I have found a warm cave in the woods, filled them with skillets, carvings, shelves, closets, silks, innumerable goods. Fixed the supper for the worms and the elves, whining, rearranging the disaligned. A woman like that is misunderstood. I have been her kind. I have ridden in your cart, driver, waved my nude arms at villages going by, learning the last bright route, survivor, where your flames still bite my thigh and my ribs crack where your wheels wind. A woman like that is not ashamed to die. I have been her kind. Thank you. Spooky. That was her witchy, spooky poem. I'm obsessed with it. You can find it on YouTube. She's just so good. So to end the night, we have Mags Creedon. Yeah.
Do you know, there's so many I wanted to read. I wanted to read Anton Floyd's one about Shaha. I wanted to read Dear Nahuifa. But Louis Mulcahy, he's been a friend of O'Vale's, and he's come up there sometimes all the way up and down from Dingle. And I was there, my husband's father and people are from right beside him. And I was there and I was looking at a piece of ceramic, which is a beautiful poem in it. And then I heard his wife, Lisbeth, passed away. And she was a beautiful woman who was in our company in the Roundy. And then she was a weaver and very refined. They had great love for each other. And she used to do the lampshades. And I thought it was so sad. So I thought I'd honour Louis tonight. I just want to read the bit of ceramic and then to slip into what I think may be alluding to her. Because she wrote very gentle, romantic, tender, sensuous poetry. She's a beautiful singer as well. Enough said about Louis. But the door na chaeloga. This is exactly what my father-in-law would have said to me. These words, so this is for Sean O'Shea. Bobby. But the door na chaeloga. There is a name over our door, meaningless to those who pass. On our arrival 40 years ago, men who shouted dogs to round up hillside sheep could say they held each field 100 years before and could tell their stories, sing their songs, relate their joys, tragedies, and occasional good fortune. Name their food, clothes, shoes, or none, their drownings. They told who married in and who married out, who stayed and hungered, who survived steerage, reached England or America to prosper and get lost in the attempt. They could trace the name and story of every field for miles, how it was created, drained and tilled. They knew the poets and the fiddlers, knew who built Naive Oaks, best man to tell the weather, the one to twist the Sugan rope, those who had the cures, good masons for dry walls. Uncoil Ode, narrow acre, narrow sod, memories conflict. One of four adjoining fields known for toil and tuber and soil, generations having hauled and spread, baskets full of storm-grown sand, with rotted straw and rich cow dung, from the settlement of Clucker near its strand. Traditions change, and Coil Og not quite yet gone. Morning steals upon perfection for her quartet. All the years of tumbling down bright life, bumping off rough sides that sped the slide, leaving marks to validate the age which she defied in every other feature of her being. The sun that turns the faultless skin to gold and smoothed tiny marks of mass and mind. Now in the satin light of dawn, made bold by riches stored beneath the night, steals back again, a shy intruder on the scene. An arm and thigh escape the dark, provoking thoughts of action fit for untamed youth, sad thoughts of 20 years unblemished, then the fall through 44 of tumbling to perfection. God rest her soul.
Thanks very much, Mags. So that actually brings us to the end of the evening. But we'll actually be moving on to mains, and Paul wanted everyone to know that O'Veil will be getting a drink for everyone in the house. Yes. So it's your interest to come along to mains after, a big round of applause again, look, for our winners and for all of our contributors. Happy birthday, O'Veil!